everybody. We are back, 8:01. Always a pleasure. I haven't spoke to him in a while. A little catch-up in store. And a very important individual representing a very important association, the Long Island Association. His name is Kevin Law. A welcome addition indeed, and we say a very happy New Year to him. Sir, how are you?
Hey, great, Jay. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
It is fantastic to have you. New outlook, new year, and everything else. Always good to wipe the slate clean, Mr. Law, huh?
Oh, indeed. And we started off the year with people may not realize that some of the biggest news, good news, to hit Long Island in a really long time. And I'm referring to the news on Friday that the U.S. Department of Energy announced that Brookhaven National Laboratory just won a $2.6 billion scientific research project called an ERIC. It's an Eon Collider. And it's really going to be great news for Long Island, especially coming on the heels of the debacle of the Amazon decision to our west, where some politicians scared them away. Here, this is sort of Suffolk County's version of a home run with Amazon, but in a scientific nature. And it's really going to be great for our region, great for our economy, and really a great way to start off 2020.
That, you know, that's something that a lot of people say, well, so, you know, when you say $2.6 billion, that's a lot of cash. And that's a pretty good situation to kind of be the recipient of when it's all said and done, the jobs and everything, right?
It does, Jay. It has a multiplier effect, too. So we're talking a multi-billion dollar multiplier effect. This project is not only going to create construction jobs for our brothers and sisters in the labor sector, but it's going to invite scientists from all over the world to come to our region to conduct scientific projects. They're going to need to stay in our hotels, in our restaurants. Some of them are going to stay here, buy homes here. It's going to create all types of other jobs. And it really supports what we've been trying to do for the last several years, and we've had the backing of Governor Cuomo, to create a research corridor from Brookhaven National Laboratory all the way going west to Stony Brook University, Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory, Hofstra University, Long Island University, and Northwell Feinstein Research Institute. We have all the ingredients, some tremendous assets, to create some really cool, high-paying jobs for our region. And what will happen at all these institutions, new companies where research is being conducted, they'll convert them into startup companies, and hopefully some of them will succeed and become large employers in our region as well.
No question. Kevin Law with us, of course, Long Island Association president, and let's not forget board representative of the MTA representing Suffolk County. We'll talk about that in and around as far as our conversation this morning. Another big happening, I thought, Kevin, was Stony Brook. You know, they are going to be the recipient as well as far as this Wind Farm Institute. We talk about, you know, energy and everything else. The governor putting in a lot of money to make sure people are trained the right way here. That's a big happening as well, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. In terms, again, for our future and why people should feel great and excited about our future, Long Island can indeed be the offshore wind capital of the world. The only place offshore wind will make sense in New York State is off the coast of Long Island. You're not doing it in the Long Island Sound, you're not doing it in the Hudson River, and you're not doing it in the Great Lakes. And so the projects will be off the coast of Long Island, and so we need to position ourselves to capitalize on those projects. There'll be private projects, and we have a lot of opportunities. First, as you said, the Offshore Wind Institute at Stony Brook. One of the offshore wind developers has committed $10 million to Suffolk County Community College, and that's for workforce training. And that's the key. We need to train our workforce and support and participate in these workforce training initiatives to train our residents how they can participate in these new jobs. There'll be all types of different jobs with these projects. And so it's important that we train our folks and so Long Islanders can be the recipients of the jobs that are going to come. And each one of these projects are multi-billion dollar projects. So, again, the projects are going to be located here. We have some opportunities for some of our ports, including Port Jefferson, who may be able to be staging areas and assembly areas. and then we need to train our residents to participate in these jobs. A lot of opportunities in the clean energy sector, especially in the offshore wind.
Kevin Law with us. You mentioned jobs. You mentioned opportunity. I think of two key words there. Yeah, and I think of the long term as far as Long Island is concerned, Kevin. I look at the Ronkonkoma Hub. I look at what's happening in Nassau County, in and around the new NYCB Live. I look at what's happening at Belmont. I look at Heartland Town Square. I look at a lot of projects. You know, it's all. I mean, are you happy as far as what we look like will be a pretty good Long Island in the next 10 to 15 years? Give me your take on things down the road.
Absolutely, 100%, Jay. These are all, again, private projects. When you ticked off Ronkonkoma Hub, Nassau Hub, and Belmont, again, all multi-billion-dollar projects, people are investing in our region. That's a great sign. I'd much rather have it that way than the other way. And so it doesn't mean we don't have our challenges and we don't have issues to deal with, but the fact that all of these companies are investing in our region in these types of development projects or the offshore wind or the federal government, they're recognizing that Long Island's a pretty cool place. We have the smartest, most educated, and best-trained workers. We have the nicest, prettiest environment surrounded by 1,000 miles of coastline, beaches, parks, playgrounds, golf courses, and we'll always be right next door to the capital of the world in New York City. So I think people are recognizing this, and despite how unaffordable Long Island could be, New York City, Brooklyn, and Queens are way more expensive, and that also we should be beneficiaries of those people who can't afford the city who will want to live out here.
Kevin Law with us, LIA, and of course, MTA board rep for Suffolk County. We're going to talk about that as well. So with that all said, it looks good, but there's always the other side. Now, you were up at the State of the State last week, Kevin. You heard the governor, and we've had him on several times. First off, he seems to be really embracing Long Island in a big way, and if it weren't for the many conversations we've had on the air here, I wouldn't think so, but he's very much invested from a mental standpoint as far as the goings-on here, wouldn't you say?
Oh, he absolutely is, and I think, Jay, you got to take some credit for this. He loves coming on your show, and it's great you have him so often because he doubled down on his commitment to our region. So that's great news. But, you know, the governor, he gets Long Island. He has family on Long Island, and he also understands that Long Island is critically important to the entire state. And he knows we have challenges. We have the highest property taxes in the, you know, in the state. We have very high energy costs, no longer the highest, but they're still high. And we have terrible traffic congestion. So we do have a lot of issues. I'm not going to sugarcoat the fact that, hey, everything is rosy here. But statistically, you know, Long Island is doing very well. Our housing market is up in Nassau and Suffolk County. Our unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in decades and the lowest in New York State. And, you know, those are all great statistics. But we know it's a challenging place to do business with regulations and taxes. It's a challenging place to live given our cost of housing. And so we can't forget that there are a lot of people who are nervous, who are scared, who are thinking about moving off the region because of the affordability issues. And we need to continue to keep our eye and our focus on those issues as well.
That's all true, no question. $6.1 billion deficit, we know what he is facing, Andrew Cuomo, and, you know, there's a lot of caveats to that. But what about locally here? Yes, the future looks bright, but, Kevin, let's not sugarcoat here. Salt and everything else, you know, that's it's going to be what it is. The $10,000 cap that has hurt many, the property taxes, we know, and people are bolting here, you know, 16,000-17,000 in the last year, I believe, in the county alone of Suffolk. What about that aspect? And it's good to have the affordable housing and everything else, the jobs. People want to see that. They want to see their kids stay. Kids don't want to stay here anymore. How do you kind of flip it around a little bit? How do you make it more enticing? There seems to be an aroma out there that is just unaffordable in the future. Does not look that bright. People are mainly concerned about the present and how they're going to put food on the table and live a comfortable life there. What about that aspect?
No, listen, I share those concerns with many of your listeners. I have two sons, both in college. I wonder and worry, are they going to be able to find jobs in the region and afford to live here? But first and foremost, there have to be jobs. If we don't have jobs for them, they're not going to stay here. They need to go where the jobs are. So focusing on economic development, supporting all these multi-billion-dollar projects in our region, that's a good way to make sure there are going to be jobs here. And so, again, you don't have to worry about affordable housing if there are no jobs. We need to make sure there are jobs there. What I'm concerned about, what I heard in Albany last week at the governor's state of the state, is when there is a $6 billion deficit, most of that is driven by the cost of Medicaid. And you have legislators in Albany who their first instinct to solve a budget problem is to raise taxes. And to the governor's credit, he has said no to no new taxes. We, the LIA, we are not going to be supportive. We're going to oppose any new taxes, especially new taxes on businesses. Now, the Medicaid issues is not a revenue problem. It's a spending problem, and they need to get the spending under control so we're not raising revenues. And that's how they need to address the budget shortfall.
No question. That will certainly help the cause. Kevin Law is with us. In essence, you hope they make some strides in that. Now, besides all that, as far as the taxes and people, maybe not happy from an economic standpoint financially to their own selves, Steve Ballone, who obviously spoke, he's the county executive we know, he spoke at an event organized by your Long Island Association. And, a lot of people also kind of sense an aroma of the corruptive state that we are in. We've had many incidents throughout the state. We know, locally, we're going through right now. We just concluded the Tom Spoda trial. We know about Ed Mangano. We know about the Skeloses, Dean Senator Skelos. What about that aspect? It's almost like the county executive stating a chapter closed, and hopefully we will have a better climate as far as that regard. What about that aspect, Kevin? We went through some tough times in 2019, including what happened in November here. What about that?
Yeah, no, listen, it happens in both counties. It's happening in the state. It happens in the city. It's terrible. People understand that their taxes need to be used to support good programs, good schools, road projects, and taking care of those less fortunate. They get that. What they won't tolerate is corruption. What they won't tolerate is people taking money, feathering their own nest. And, unfortunately, it's been happening for hundreds of years. And it's been happening on Long Island, unfortunately, too much in both counties for the last several years. But I think right now, you have this new climate. There's new law enforcement in every region, at the sheriff's, at the DA, at the police department, in Nassau County as well. And I think Newsday does a good job keeping people, honest as well. And you and the media, everybody needs to play that role. And so there's no tolerance for that. It can't be tolerated. And, hopefully, as Steve said, we turn the page and things are going to get better.
Kevin, what about the I thought Newsday did a great job. We've covered it a lot. We've had many, many on regarding it. The housing discrimination that has taken place, 3-year investigation, Long Island divided, very important stuff, and really shed a lot of light. A lot of people had kind of had that notion that this was going on for a long time, but finally cemented in this investigation. What was your take?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I've heard them, and I've spoken at a panel with the race racism, 2 days after that series hit. A lot of people say, shocking story, not surprised, because I think a lot of people have realized it's gone on for decades. The business community has a role in this as well. In fact, at my last board meeting in December, our board, we discussed it. The business community can't be silent on this either. We don't want to be viewed as a region that is not tolerant. That is not a healthy environment for businesses to thrive in. And in fact, some public companies won't want to locate or expand in a region that is not viewed as tolerant. And so whether it's the racial steering or whether it's the increased hatred that you're seeing with anti-Semitism, attacks on the LGBT community, whatever. It shouldn't be tolerated. Everybody needs to speak out, not just advocates, not just the elected officials, but the business community can also be speaking out, saying, hey, this is unacceptable in our region.
Absolutely. You know, and speaking of unacceptable, it just came to my mind, Kevin, a lot of people sounding off about this bail reform act. I was a little disappointed the governor didn't really mention anything actually of it in the address. But a lot of people are sounding off. And again, you know, you have that corrosive nature of mindset out there that certainly needs to be corrected. We're going to have on Sheriff Toulon a little bit later on in the week. What about that aspect as far as the change of mindset? Do you think something will come out of it?
Yeah, I think so. There's a couple of things. And first, Sheriff Errol Toulon, he's terrific. He's great. I'm glad. I look forward to listening to him when you have him on. But here's part of the problem, Jay. Part of the problem is the way Albany does business in terms of the legislative process. They do things very quickly, in the middle of the night sometimes, without committee hearings. When the Suffolk County Legislature, you know, they get criticized a lot over the decades for being a crazy place, whatever, but you know, not so much anymore. But for all their warts, they have a very good process. A bill gets introduced. It gets assigned to a committee where there's a public hearing. Then if it gets out of the committee, it goes to the full legislature where there's a public hearing. And then if it gets sent over to Steve Ballone, who has to sign or veto it, there's another public hearing. And so there are three opportunities for public hearings where people can express concerns with a particular bill. That doesn't happen up in Albany, or it rarely happens. And so the law enforcement community and the judicial community didn't really have a whole lot of opportunity to weigh in and say, hey, guys, slow down. You're going too fast, and there are some concerns we have that should be addressed. And what happened was a bill got rushed, the ramifications weren't thought out, and now, since it just took effect 10 days ago or 12 days ago on January 1st, all of a sudden you're hearing all these issues, and now there's calls for, hey, we better do something about it. Well, you're damn right, they better do something about it, but they could have avoided this if the legislative process was neater and cleaner up in Albany.
And not only that, you know, we just seem to have a nature in politics. Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong. You know, it seems to be almost a progressive nature. You look what's happening, the divide that we see on Capitol Hill these days. You look at Albany. And, of course, even the local stuff here, Nassau and Suffolk, but in essence, it's almost permeating to the point where people aren't really thinking that clearly for this to happen. And to have people backing a bill of this nature and really not thinking it through to the point where, you know what, you are handcuffing judges now as far as discretionary type situations. That's a problem there. Has to be corrected.
No, it is. And listen, you do have individuals in both chambers of the state legislature and the assembly and the Senate who are from a progressive wing, and they are, you know, going fast to institute and implement a whole lot of bills that were not approved over the last decade. And some of them may have worthy intentions, but you need to think these things through. You need to bring all stakeholders together before rushing with them. The same thing when it comes to taxes. You know, we can't have their initial reaction to a budget deficit be, okay, let's just raise taxes. You know, we can't allow that, you know, especially for all the reasons we just said. There are a lot of Long Islanders who are hurting and thinking about moving off because they can't afford this place. The last thing we need to be doing is raising taxes to address a budget deficit.
Without question. Now, besides the many duties that Kevin has as leading the way of this Long Island Association, kind of the voice of the business community, encouraging government, all levels, doing what's right for Long Island. Kevin decided he doesn't have much. He's got a little more free time, so he decided to take the reins from our friend Mitch Pally as far as Board Representative MTA Suffolk County. And I'll tell you, that's a tall task in itself, but tell me how that process all came about for you.
Well, the way it works is the county executive nominates and the governor appoints. And so Steve Ballone and Governor Cuomo tricked me into being appointed to the board. I was lobbying for Mitch Pally, my dear friend, to stay on. And, of course, I'm joking with you. It's an honor. You know, the governor and Steve asked me to serve. Yeah, these are voluntary positions. We have a large board. It's made up of folks from the city and from the suburbs in both Long Island and Westchester and the lower Hudson Valley. And people don't realize, you know, the MTA is a huge organization of over 75,000 employees. It oversees not only the Long Island Railroad and Metro North suburban rail systems, it oversees the subways, the buses, and all the bridges and tunnels, Midtown Tunnel, Triborough, Whitestone, Throgs Neck, bridges. And it's one big commuter system, and it's critically important. It's the lifeline of our region. And so while I have a fiduciary duty to look after the whole system, I'm there also as an advocate for Suffolk County and Long Island. And I'm not afraid to open my mouth and share my thoughts at board meetings when I don't think Long Island's getting a fair share, and I'm going to continue to do that.
Well, hopefully that voice will be heard even more so. And let's face it, they have not been painted in the right way in a long time. And I'm talking the Long Island Railroad. And listen, you know, I've been one of those guys. I've been very critical, Kevin, and rightfully so, with all that's going on, including the latest of audits done as far as the state controller is concerned, the inconsistencies and the deficiencies, as he called it, in some of the numbers there. But more importantly, you know, it's all about being affordable and not raising rates every time they run out of money. There's a lot that goes on. What about the latest? I know the governor would like to see another 8 tracks added. The place across the way, they were perfect as far as being the right template to put in, right across there from Penn Station there on 8th Avenue. What about that aspect? Do you see something coming to fruition in that regard? It's a lot of work and a lot of money. What about that?
It does. Listen, the governor has a tremendous vision. He understands the importance of the system to the regional economy. If it wasn't for the governor, we wouldn't be getting the double track wouldn't have been completed. The third track would not be under construction. And he has folks now in charge of the East Side Access problem to bring that in over the next 2 years. It's something that has been sort of just floundering for years, is now under control, and the budget is under control, and the schedule is under control. And that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the governor. Now he wants to even improve the Penn Station area more. It'll be a new experience for Long Island Railroad commuters, and I think it'll be a positive one. Here's what I think your listeners need to understand, Jay, because some of them may say, you know what, I don't use the railroad, I don't care about the railroad, and I shouldn't have to pay for the railroad or the MTA. But see, that is wrong thinking, and here's the reason. The Long Island Railroad and the whole MTA system, as I said, is critically important to our region. Long Islanders, we still have 30% of Nassau residents who commute into the city. They bring back over 50% of the disposable income to Nassau County, and that's used to support the real estate market, the downtowns, the small businesses in that area. In Suffolk County, 10% of the residents still commute into the city, and they bring back over 20% of the disposable income, again, which helps support our local businesses and our downtowns. And everybody complains about traffic as it is. Can you imagine if we didn't have folks on the train, how much more congested our roads would be? It would be, you know, a dead stop all the time. So critically important to our region. I think these investments and the new ones that the governor has called for is only going to strengthen our region. The easier we can make it for people to get to and from our, from to and from New York City, from Long Island, strengthens the Long Island region.
No question. Kev, what about congestion pricing? We talked about that for a very long time. You know, certain hours kind of raising those numbers a bit. And that's been certainly criticized in a very big way. Do you think that's the right way to go as far as years to come here with congestion pricing?
It doesn't matter what I think because it's part of a law, and it was passed in the state legislature last year. It's part of the MTA's capital budget, a $50 billion capital budget over the next few years, and a big chunk of that is going to come from capital congestion pricing. So that is in the works. What hasn't been established yet, Jay, and where I can have some influence, is that there is this congestion pricing panel that is supposed to, they're charged with coming up with the exact way and the exact fees as to who's going to be paying these fees and where and how. And that hasn't all been established yet. And so once that panel comes up with their plans, it'll come before the MTA board, and I'll be able to chime in at that point.
Last one, $51.5 billion budget in place. There's been a lot of questions regarding that. Is there enough money in that regarding the Long Island Railroad as far as their fair share? What about that? Is there enough? Do you think there's plenty in the bank to kind of fix the ongoing stuff?
I think, we always want more. But if you look at the system, Long Island Railroad makes up about 10% of the MTA. And over $5 billion of the $51 billion in the budget is for the Long Island Railroad. So that's 10% as well. So technically, we're getting a fair share. The important thing is there's enough money in that plan to finish the third track, to upgrade dozens of new stations in Nassau and Suffolk County. And what I'm going to continue to advocate for with my hat on as the MTA board member and as an advocate for Long Island is we want further electrification from Ronkonkoma to Yaphank with the new relocated Yaphank station close to BNL. I want to support system improvements and possible electrification for the Port Jefferson branch. And, those are things we got to continue to advocate for our region, which will strengthen our economy in the future.
All righty. Hopefully a lot of good things in store without question. Kevin Law, Long Island Association, what a job he does, and hopefully to be a representative extraordinaire beyond as far as the MTA in Suffolk County. Can't thank you enough. I look forward to the next conversation, sir.
Thanks so much, Jay, and a terrific 2020 to you and your listeners.